Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and I have had one of the most glorious weeks in the outdoors I have ever experienced. And I'm 77 years old, and you might want to know where that happened. Well, I was up in North Missouri at Slim's Knox County Whitetails. You're thinking, man, you're talking whitetails here in May and June, that time frame? Absolutely. If you're a deer hunter, they're always on your mind. But this week, we were up with Chris Allison and Annette on their beautiful, beautiful one farm where the lodge is located. But these guys have got thousands of acres leased up, and we had a legend of the outdoors turkey hunt this week. Had some great folks come in. Lots of turkeys killed. It was phenomenal for the last week of turkey season. But I'm sitting here in the lodge with Chris Allison and a longtime friend of mine, Philip Vanderpool. And these guys, I had to get them up this morning. You know, they've had a few rough weeks here, and they kind of want to sleep in a little bit. But I drug them out of bed this morning, and we are ready to rip, talk some more turkey hunting. Well, Philip, I'll tell you what, you were probably the guy that was instrumental in bringing this all together. You've been in association with Chris Allison for a long time.
Yes. You know, Chris and I go way back, and obviously I've been hunting here, you know, both whitetail and turkey. And matter of fact, I took my heaviest turkey by far that I've taken up here with Chris, a 28-pound, 11-ounce gobbler here.
And I didn't know they made them that big.
Buddy, I tell you what, they don't make very many of them, but got fortunate on that. But and then also, Chris and I teamed up and videoed our buddy Larry McCoy killing one with 2-inch spurs. That and wow. we done that side by side. That was what was – it's probably one of the highlights of my career as far as just, you know, having a double like that. I shot mine first. He was the dog. He come up there, and he hit the DSD decoy so hard that he bent that big metal rod over in a 90-degree angle, didn't it, Chris?
He sure did.
Soon as the first time he hit it. Unreal.
Wow. Well, a 28-pound turkey, that's pretty incredible. I always tell people I've killed over 100 turkeys my lifetime. Never killed one over 23 pounds, but I'm hunting in the Missouri Ozarks, you know. And up here in North Missouri, you got this fertile soil, lots of row crops and that sort of thing. So these birds do get big.
Yeah.
This week we had some big birds killed. But, hey, run down the list of the people that was here this week.
Well, let's see. First of all, we had Gary Mason and his son Michael. And, of course, Gary put on the Legends event here at the Hall of Fame. And I guess there was, what, 6 members. Let me get this straight here now. Let's see. We had Jimmy Seitz. We had Ray I, Linda Powell.
Yourself.
Going. Sandy Brady.
Yep.
Myself, Philip Vanderpool.
Ray I.
I said, okay,
you
Ray I.
Covered Ray.
Who else am I missing, guys?
I don't think you missed anybody there. I think you got them all.
Got them all?
Yeah.
Want to make sure, because
oh, yeah, don't want to leave anybody out. Yeah. But what a group of people. And I've listened to Chris this week, and if he said it once, he said it 100 times. I have to stop and pinch myself to make sure this is all real. And
yeah.
Chris, what did it mean to you to have this kind of people coming into your camp?
Well, I started turkey hunting when I was 6 years old, and I have watched every one of these people that was here this week or knew about them, you know, turkey hunting legends. And I have to pinch myself every day sometimes just to make sure that this is real. You know, I've dreamed about this my whole life, to be able to hunt with people such as we had this week. And And it's, you know, I work every day. Like, I have to see what day it is sometimes because I work every single day. I wake up and do the same thing, but I don't feel like I ever work because I absolutely love what I do. I'm so blessed. I can't even begin to tell you. I could sit here and talk about 2 weeks what the Lord's done for me, but to hunt with people like this is just a dream come true, you know.
Yeah. But, and I agree, too. You know, and I've had the opportunity to be able to video so many different folks in the outdoor industry. But when you have the true legends in here, the people that have been put into the Hall of Fame, it's just, I mean, and I'm, you know, I went in 2023, and it's the most prestigious, I don't know, holy grail of hunting, you know, that the Lord has blessed us with. And, you know, with Gary and Michael, it was just special to be with those guys, you know, because Gary started the Hall of Fame, and him and his wife, his lovely wife, you know, and Cindy.
And that's quite a story in itself.
Yeah, I know.
But put another feather in your cap. You're associated with Legends of the Outdoors and do, I guess, most of their filming. And that's quite a credit to you because Gary Mason could get anybody he wanted.
Sure, sure.
To film for the Legends of the Outdoors, and he's talked to me personally about you, and man, you were his top first choice.
Yeah.
So, but you've been in the industry how many decades?
it's I don't even know, but 30 some odd years for sure. You know,
absolutely.
Of actually being in the industry, and I've had a blessed career. I mean, both in front of the camera, behind the camera, but it's people like Chris Allison and Nettie and them that have really helped me pave the way to get quality hunts. You know,
absolutely. That's so important. I heard an old guy one time early in my turkey hunting career. I said, "Well, you turkey hunted, you know, and old timer, and you know a little bit about things. What's your best tip you could give me?" He said, "Hunt where the turkeys are."
I guarantee. that's the whole key. And Chris just turns me loose out here, and I've got to know a lot of his properties. Not all of them. He's got so much. He's got properties in nine counties,
and did you say 37,000 acres?
Right now we're hunting just over 37,000 acres. We have two camps right now, the main camp and then the northwest camp. But while we're talking about Philip Vanderpool, I want to put in something. He's my friend. I love him to death. He's like my brother. But he is the hardest working person that I know in this industry. And I'm not just saying that because he's sitting here. He is instrumental in our success this week and weeks before. I mean, he has filmed nine turkey hunts here this year. Right just at my place, not counting. I mean, he goes to – I'm going to put another plug in here, Triple H Outfitters in Kansas.
Yeah.
Donovan and Sammy and Healy. Those people run – if you're looking for a Rio turkey, you don't need to look anywhere else. I'm just telling you, they're phenomenal people. But Philip was instrumental in introducing me to Donovan, and I hunt with Donovan, and Donovan's father, Healy, came and hunted with me. But Nettie and I, we're out there every year in bow season for turkeys. And then we put on a muzzleloader hunt out there with Donovan. He lets me fill his two muzzleloader spots. And it's just a big group of people that love the outdoors. And Donovan and I are both outfitters, but we don't consider each other competition. I try to book hunts for him. He books hunts for me. And that's what it's all about. Yeah. It's not a competition. It is just people who love the outdoors helping each other.
Exactly.
And that's a great thing. We all of us sitting here realize that the outdoor industry is a pretty small community.
Yeah.
And the quality people will work with each other. And of course, we've all seen the jealousies and the conflicts and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But the cream floats to the top, brother. And you guys are certainly in that level. And Philip.
Yes.
How many outdoor riders have you helped in your lifetime?
Oh, my goodness, buddy. I tell you, and that's something we ought to do sometime is have a good outdoor rider camp here. We don't get a chance to do that as much now, you know, that everything is basically, you know, social media stuff. And I tell you, I miss a lot of that because those guys, you know, are the reason a lot of us have gotten our publicity and, you know, got our name out there.
Absolutely.
With great outdoor riders in, and I'm I've been truly blessed to be in a bunch of them over the years when I was with Hunter Specialties, especially.
Well, I got to back up in the program just a little bit here. You talked about being blessed.
No.
Yes, we've all been blessed. But in my 77 years on this earth, I have discovered and I've watched it over the decades. A lot of people that are blessed, they're hardworking people. The Lord blesses effort. He blesses good effort.
100%.
He blesses effort for the right reasons. And you guys certainly fit into that category. And it's just like we were talking yesterday. I know I was inducted into the Legends in 24.
Yes.
I think there were seven people inducted, and my minister was there. He's a young fellow, big beefy boy, you know, great outdoorsman. We do all kinds of outdoor programs at our little country church. We got rifle ranges, skeet range. This last week they had an archery program, but he was there, and he, the next Sunday after that, he was in the pulpit, of course, and he got talking about the Legends of the Outdoors, and he said, I felt like I'd gone to church. All seven of those guys that were inducted, he said, they all preached, and he said, I thought one of them was going to have an altar call.
Well, I told my wife that year when we left there, I said, one common denominator that everybody was on that stage, they all had faith in the Lord.
Absolutely, and that's one thing I appreciate about Gary Mason so much, you know.
Yeah.
Tremendous outdoorsman, has been a huge influence in the outdoor industry, was in the tourism business in Northwest Tennessee there for 17 years, a director of tourism, I think. And, man, he's got a college bass team at Bethel University. He's a coach of a bass team. Has been in the boats and hunting blinds and with so many of the great people in the outdoors. And I love that story he tells. He's talking to his wife. She's just a sweetheart. I don't know how he ever got her. But he's talking to her one time. And he said, you know, there's all these halls of fame around, but there's not one really for the outdoor industry, people who have kind of set the mark in the outdoor industry. And if somebody needs to start a legend in the Outdoors Hall of Fame, she looked at him and said, well, ain't you somebody?
That's how it started.
But Phil, I think it was it last year that you made a presentation to Gary?
Yes.
Boy, did you ever get him. Tell us about that.
Well, many thanks to Sandy Brady. You know, Sandy makes beautiful plaques and awards and stuff there for the NWTF and for several organizations. And Gary said that he didn't think it would be fitting for him to ever go into the Hall of Fame. He said, maybe after I pass or something, something like that. But he said, as long as I'm alive, I don't feel like I should be put into the Hall of Fame. So I talked to you about it, Bill.
I remember that, and
I talked to Sandy Brady and some of the folks here about possibly having an award made, a really beautiful plaque for Gary and Cindy, and present it to them and surprise them there. And it was definitely a surprise
for them.
You know, and my goodness, of anybody deserving of it, it's got to be Gary and Cindy. And Cindy just as much as Gary.
Absolutely, but he's just an humble character.
Yes.
And he wouldn't allow that to happen, but you took care of it in grand fashion, boy.
Yeah, well, and thanks to you guys giving me, you know, because I ran it by several of you all that had been in, and I think I ran it by Harold Knight, and Harold's like, oh, my. And Mike Pentecost asked him, he said, oh, yeah, we, you know, and I think,
Chris,
I even
absolutely
ran it by you. I said, what do y'all think? I mean, am I stepping, hopefully I'm not stepping on nobody's toes, and he won't be mad, but it was just a real nice plaque, and I came up with some of the Bible verses and stuff there to fit in on the plaque, and it was just, a special thanks to Sandy Brady. And what you all don't know, Sandy surprised me too. I haven't never told this, but I'm going to do it before we have our event. He made me another plaque where I was put in the Hall of Fame in 2023. Well, he made one himself personally for me, and
really,
you know, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, it brought tears to my eyes.
No doubt. There's a few tears shed on the stage up there when you presented that award. To those guys.
Yes, because
it was an emotional thing for all of us, because we have a deep, deep appreciation for Gary and Cindy because yes. we know the history. We know the work. But, you know, we all look at each other in the industry, too, with deep, deep respect because we know. I watched you, hey, the other morning, you stayed up to 1 o'clock because it's constant work with the film and editing. And what time did you get up?
3:45 And I do that a lot. I mean, honestly. Hey. Usually I average, I'd say, between 3.5 and 4 hours sleep. Most of the time is probably the average during turkey season.
Oh, absolutely. It's a go hard, go full steam business. Well, we've talked about a lot of fun stuff here, but probably I think our listeners would really want to hear about these turkey hunts this week.
We've had some good ones this year. Chris has been on top of it too. These trail cameras, these trail cameras have made a huge difference. The 100%. Reveal trail cameras, that's what both me and Chris run, and it's made a huge difference up here to let us know where the inventory's at.
Oh, 100%. I have utilized them so much through this year. And when you can tell a client, these turkeys have been coming through here at between 8 and 9 o'clock, and they're wanting to get up at 7:30. If you can show them a picture, hey, there's three gobblers right here, they're going to sit there. And they're calling, and they may come earlier if they're calling and stuff. It's not like we're deer hunting turkeys, but they're reacting, they're gobbling. But if you know where they're at and you know where they're going, it makes it a whole lot easier, you know.
Absolutely. And you clearly demonstrated this week during this Legends hunt, that info is extremely valuable because we had how many hunters? Seven or eight?
We had eight hunters.
Eight, and how many birds taken?
Killed seven.
Seven gobblers.
Seven gobblers.
That's a pretty good percentage.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, wow. Well, who got the first kill?
Sandy Brady.
Sandy Brady.
Yeah, I took Sandy down.
He only had one day to hunt.
Sandy only had one day,
so yeah. That was why we kind of emphasized on it. We got him. We picked him up out here at the little airport here in Kirksville and got him flying in on the plane, you know, and stuff. I videoed all that stuff. And I told Sandy it was really important for me. I wanted to hunt with him because I felt like him and I have really developed a great, wonderful friendship, and I just love being around him because he just lights up the place. He's got that big, huge personality.
He does.
And I'm going to tell you, he presents. He plants a seed everywhere he goes. We took him to eat, and the lady that owned the restaurant, first thing he asked if he could pray for her, gave her a pocket cross. Yes. And I mean, he at the airport, there was two people flew in. Yes. We just got off the plane. He presented it to him, and he was like, I don't know how they reacted to it. I said, you planted the seed. The Lord will do the rest.
That's absolutely exactly right. And he gave them the little pocket cross.
Yeah, explain what that is.
You know, well, I mean, basically, it's the nail. He makes them out of them little nails, and he makes each one of these handmade, and it's representing the nails in Jesus,
and he takes a little
in his hands.
The wood is off little tobacco sticks that cut up with the cross from North Carolina.
It's a cross,
cross
2 inches tall. But the coolest thing is he's made these all over the country, and he makes them right in camp, you know.
Yes.
And what did he put on the crosses here? Turkey feathers. Pheasant camp, it was pheasant. He'd been to duck camps. And I've got several of those.
Yep.
And are they ever a keepsake? But Sandy Brady is going into the Outdoor Hall of Fame
this year. Deservingly so, man. Oh, if anybody deserves it, I'm
a giant. A giant in the industry and just a giant human being.
If you have 10 minutes to talk to him and listen to his story, what the Lord brought him through and to.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, everybody makes mistakes in life, and it just shows what the Lord can do for you. If you're willing to adhere to his will, and what I guess Sandy's heart, when he got in camp, Philip said, we're going to take you right down here on this strutter right here below the camp. Well, about 10 minutes later, Linda Powell pulled in, and he said, I know I don't have but one day, but I want to go hunt with Linda. We're going to get Linda bird. He put her first.
Yes.
I just overwhelmed me. I'm like, he's got one day to hunt. He wants her to kill.
Yeah,
you know, that tells you a lot about a person.
It really does. But he's not the only outstanding personality that was here this week. Of the other hunts.
Oh, my goodness. You know, of course, Jimmy Seitz surprised us. And Jimmy's a hunter, guys. Listen, that first year we had camp, Jimmy, if he videoed the gobbler all the way in with his phone until it was time to pull the trigger, he lays the phone down and gets his gobbler. Well, this year you sent him out there, what, with just marked it on Onyx,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I just pinned it to him.
Yes.
I pinned it to him, kind of told him a little bit about the property, and I said, this is kind of where I would start. He went out there and
Midday.
Well, let me tell you, he started out on another farm. I pinned the place to him. He called me, said, man, it looked perfect, great strut area. I got my decoy set out, and 15 minutes later, here come a 800-horsepower John Deere tractor. One of our farmers was plowing the ground. So that didn't work. So I pinned him another place, and it's a 45-minute drive up there.
Yeah.
It's one of my Northwest farms, and he got up there. He hadn't been there, got there and got there 45 minutes and done killed a big old bird, inch and a half spurred.
Yeah.
11-inch beard. I mean, giant bird. And, you know, he was like, if I had a turkey farm to pick out anywhere I've ever hunted, that would be it.
Yeah.
Well, he's an incredible person. I got to spend a day with him. Just incredible. First time I'd ever been around him. And Jimmy's not a real big fellow, you know. But I'm telling you what, he impressed me so much. He's like a cat. I mean, he's stealthy.
Yeah.
Boy. And
very good,
but
hunter.
Just the wonderful conversations he had, because he has what, Spiritual Outdoors TV,
yeah,
and is you know, ordained minister, just done some, yeah, fabulous works, very intelligent. He told me about one program he went through, educational program. He had to learn Greek and Latin both before he could even get in this program. So we're talking all around superhuman being, and I was so blessed just to spend, yeah, that day with him. And we didn't kill a bird that day, but that didn't matter.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what these hunt camps are all about. It's not just killing turkeys. This is the camaraderie, the friendship, the spiritual, me, if what I get out of it, for me, this is the spiritual side of seeing everybody here. And we, you know, we pray, we talk about the good Lord, and then we talk about turkeys, and then you got Ray Iron camping. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Need I say any more?
No. But I have to talk about Ray, because I give him all the credit for really helping me kickstart my outdoor career.
Uh-huh.
You know, because Ray, I don't know how we first met. I can tell you this, somehow or another, it was through youth programs, I'm sure, but Ray I and some people from Cabela's, many years ago, we held the first youth deer season camp in the state of Missouri before the youth season started. It was It was actually an experiment. We got a special legislation passed so that we could go into a wildlife area and have this youth deer camp. We had, I think it was 8 kids into that camp, and 7 of them took deer, and the 8th little boy missed, bless his heart, and he cried his eyes out, you know, and we cried with him,
yeah,
all that sort,
yeah,
of thing. But that was the start. But Ray had gotten a hold of me at one point, and he was putting on together a media turkey hunting camp, and he said, Bill, I'd like for you to come, and can you produce some material? And I said, sure. I said, media camp? What is that? I didn't even know what it was.
Right.
But he kind of took me under his wing, and away we went. And it, you know, I'm like you, man, I have to pinch myself once in a while to wonder if this is real. Because still this day, I mean, I've written, gosh, now over 6,500 articles in my lifetime, written for everybody from local newspapers to Outdoor Life,
yeah,
wrote for Bass Pro for 5 years. And I just can't believe that this has happened. But I did put in the work, just like Philip Vanderpool.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was hilarious. Ray came into camp, and Nettie, I've got a Ray turkey hunting book over there on my desk, and Nettie goes, isn't that guy that's on that book? That's the guy that wrote that book. And I'm like, yeah, that's him. And she goes, oh, my.
Well, I could write a book about Ray myself, some of the hunts that
And y'all, I got the privilege of going with him and Linda, and I'm just gonna tell you right now, there ain't gonna be many turkey kills when them two are together. I mean, it's laughter and cutting up the, yeah, whole time. Yeah. I just sat back and said, "Oh Lord."
I tell you, that Ray is just hilarious.
Oh my goodness!
One of the things that I remember from the past, you know, I was with him somewhere. Might have been up here in North Missouri, but Ray's got a small pallet, I guess, and he makes his own turkey calls, and he just uses the aluminum the frame. He didn't put any tape on it, you know. And I'm sitting with him, and he's so particular about calling me. I'm kind of like a rusty door hinge, you know. But we were sitting up against these trees, and I hear him spitting. I thought, is that dude sick or what? And I leaned over to look. He put a mouth call in his mouth, and yep. He didn't like it. He spit it out in the weeds. He must spit two dozen turkey calls out in the weeds and finally got one. Yeah, that's what I need, you know. Well, he got up and walked off. He just kind of left me. I went over and picked up all 24 of them calls. Took them home, washed them off, and I about choked to death, but I swallowed them a couple times, you know. But Ray is so near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yeah.
And we could all sit here and talk about people that have meant so much to us. But what an incredible, incredible camp this week. And I got to honest tell you, I've never been in a turkey hunting camp, even in the first week of season, where the percentage of kills was what it was here this week.
Yeah.
The third week of turkey season.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, when Gary invited me, I'm thinking, man, third week of turkey season.
Yeah, in Missouri, it's usually tough, isn't it, Chris? It can be very tough.
Well, it was tough this week, but you know what? Them turkeys went up against some tough turkey hunters this week. And I got to hand it to you. I got to talk about my own hunt just a little bit. Philip Vanderpoel dragged me out there the last day, you know. And I thought, this guy's going to be in a bad mood because he went to bed at 1, got up at 3:45. We got to drive an hour. He's going to sleep all day, you know. Well, I told him, this thing progressed because I wasn't going to go at all at first. Then it's, well, can you go a couple hours? Well, yeah, I can probably do that. We get there, and he starts, what did you start telling me? What time did turkey going to show up?
Yeah, I kept looking, you know, there again, looking at trail cameras where they're walking through. You know, you'll have one picture of them, and I'm like thinking, well, yesterday the gobbler that walked through here was more in the afternoon, so I just kept, oh, we can stay a little longer.
He kept dropping these teasers, you know.
And I'd keep you up and on them calls, yanking and cranking.
Yeah, and finally, and we just had turkeys all hens
all over us, didn't we?
And deer too.
Yep.
It was like a wildlife highway, and I'm just flabbergasted, you know. Man, I can't leave this. Then he says, can you stay till noon? I can probably do that. Then we just kept talking about it, you know, and I said, I could probably stay till 3:00. And he said, you know, this one gobbler's been coming through about 4:30.
It's like he's coming back in through there between that, you know, 4 and 5 o'clock. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to keep you open because I know that son of a gun, he's going to hear me, and he's going to be coming that way. You know, I just had a good feeling about it.
I tell you what, he's great at leading you on, you know, dropping those little hints, and you need to do this, you need to do that.
He kept my brother, Tim. If you know Tim, he is like sitting on an anthill. He is all over. He's ready to go in 30 minutes. He kept my brother out there 11 hours. I said, that's got to be the world record, talking somebody into sitting still.
Right? Well, we stayed out there 7 or 8 minutes legal shooting when he finally got that gobbler to come in. And commit himself.
Yeah. Well, he had me so pumped up and so rattled. But I mean, we stayed out there 12 hours, and then just like clockwork, I'm sitting there wondering. He said, here comes a gobbler, you know. They come around a point
out
there.
I had just called.
Yeah.
You heard, you could hear me. There was a hen that come there, and I started calling her because I thought, man, she's probably – she either come off the nest to come in there, you know, and into the food plot, you know. She was out there picking around. You could see her just picking around out there.
Oh.
And I thought, they got to be a gobbler around there close. So I kept hammering, you know, kept calling. And she'd raise her head and look around.
But he kept telling me, Bill, I'm telling you, a turkey's coming. I said, I'm not doubting your word, man. I'm not doubting you at all. And then he said, here comes a gobbler, man. Come around a point. Now, I'm not used to hunting around fields and stuff. I had to watch this thing come from 150 yards. And the closer he gets, I mean, I'm 77 years old, killed a lot of turkeys. But I was as excited as I've ever been in my life. I got a little nervous. And I kind of fumbled the shot a little bit. He's got video to prove that, you know. I had spent some time looking for this bird, but this man will stick with you. That's all I can say.
You're not going to outlast Philip Vanderpool.
Not at all.
The one thing that I will tell you I'm not going to say I'm a better caller or a better hunter or anything like that. And I don't have patience most of the time, but when I'm hunting, the one thing I've learned is patience is a virtue. And that is the truth.
100%.
I mean, if you and you just got to be hunt smart. And I know instead of us, you can't run all over your properties, Chris. You know that. You can't run and gun all over those properties. You'll have them turkeys wore out the first 3 or 4 days hunting them if you let people. But if you'll have patience and just know kind of the trail cameras are going to tell you, we run a bunch of them. And it'll tell you kind of where the turkeys are at and sometimes give you an idea on the time, but you have to be there. That's and be comfortable. Them Newcomb, listen, those Newcomb turkey loungers saved our hind end, buddy. Absolutely. It's a lifesaver.
There's no way I could have sat there for 12 hours and anything. But I slept half the day. Woke me up once at billiard snoring, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Pat Newcomb, as Newcomb Blinds, is a really good friend of mine. And he, when he went to pick these chairs up in Minnesota where they were shipped, he brought me 4 cases of them down here before they were ever on the market. And I'm going to tell you right now, everybody that I have let use one has hunted longer, been more still. Absolutely. It's a key. It's just another key, you know, really a little piece of the puzzle.
I'm order one as soon as I get home.
As bad as my back has gotten to be from carrying all that camera gear around all these years and stuff, I can honestly tell you I can stay in that thing all, I mean, from before daylight till dark.
We did.
And when I get up, my back ain't killing me.
Yeah.
I stay that comfortable. The only thing, Pat, you need to do is get us a headrest that you can mount on that son of a buck.
I disagree. Because if you do, I'm going to sleep all day. But what an incredible piece of equipment. Oh. But back up just a second here.
Yes.
Isn't there a TV program called The Virtue?
There happens to be the Virtue TV.
I happen to know the guy that has that show.
Yeah, Philip Vanderpool. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful name for that. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, we could talk for 3 hours about this camp that just happened.
Yeah.
The two of you wrap this camp up and what it's meant to you.
Well, I just want to say a special thank you to Chris and Annette Allison here at Knox County Whitetails.
Brag on Letty a little bit. We didn't mention her.
And the food, listen, guys, the food here with Nettie cooking, I promise you, you will gain, and I'm not just saying this, you will gain 5 to 10 pounds if you're here a week, I guarantee you.
Well, I can tell you, as much as I think of you guys, you know, brag on you to the end of the days, great hunters, all this patience and everything, you don't come close to Letty.
No, I know.
I'm going to tell you, she is.
Letty.
And she killed a turkey, too.
She killed a turkey. She only got to hunt one day, and we got it done at 6:40 yesterday morning. And she's been at home taking care of her grand. Her nanny was 97 years old, and she took care of her. She was by her side 24/7, you know, those last weeks. And she's always been – her mother passed away of COVID 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And since that point, Nettie has been her nanny's caregiver. So she hasn't got to hunt much lately in, you know, the last year or so, and, or a couple of years. And it was just a blessing to get to go out there with her yesterday. And, I mean, she did a phenomenal job, took a 42-yard shot, and, I mean, just smoked that turkey.
Yeah.
And that's a God thing. I mean, even for her to be able to be here.
Absolutely. You know? What an incredible lady. And I got to tell you, I produced an Outdoor Celebrities cookbook in 1999. If I do another, she's going to be there. My goodness.
I want to say this real quick. I got to hunt with Gary and Michael, his son Michael. And I'm going to tell you right now, Michael is a turkey hunter.
Absolutely.
And he got to smell the powder burn himself.
Uh-huh.
But he and Gary and I took us almost an hour to get in. Chris has his old field gobbler out there with them hens, and you know how tough they can be when they're standing out there in that open like that. We got in there, and I actually stood with the tripod on the camera for over five and a half hours, and Gary sat in the Newcomb in that little lounger. But Michael was right there, and it's an awesome hunt, guys. Gary, man, he got the smell of the powder burning. What a shot he made. I'm telling you, with that TSS load, that 20 gauge.
20 gauge.
I didn't shoot it with a rangefinder, or I can't tell you exactly how far it was, but I guarantee you it ran around that 60-yard mark.
Oh, yeah. Right. He thumped him. And he was so appreciative. to have his son with him, Michael. And he said, and that was his biggest turkey he'd ever killed. He said, yeah.
Well, I'd say if you want to kill a big turkey, come up here, hook up with the Slims Knox County Whitetails. They kill turkeys too. Where'd the Slims come from?
My father, everybody named him Slim. He was about 6'2 and weighed about 170 pounds, and he was real thin. And a guy in South Carolina years ago, he said, "You're about the slimmest fella I ever met." And it stuck, and everybody from here to Montana, Colorado, everybody we've ever hunted with knows my father is Slim.
Yep.
And we lost him last year, but I named it Slim's Knox County Whitetails out of honoring him, because he planted all these seeds and got a lot of this ground for me. He never met a stranger, you know, and we miss him for sure in camp.
I'm sure that's true. Well, Chris, give us a phone number how people can contact you.
If you want to reach us at Knox County Whitetails, you can go to knoxcountywhitetails.com. You can go to Slim's Knox County Whitetails on Facebook, or you can reach me at area code 828-231-9364.
All righty. Well, guys, I tell you what, we need to take just a short break here, because I do have sponsors that like to be heard. You know?
I got you.
Folks, we'll be right back.
Our forefathers gave us a Bill of Rights. One of those is the right to step in the front door of Pond Center, where the faint sound of eagles screeching from on high a bounding purple mountain's majesty browls the walls full of glorious firearms. It's hard not to shed a patriotic tear as your red, white, and blue blood becomes fortified by the sight of true freedom. Pond Center, located at 408 Highway 72 East in Rolla, Missouri. Or give us a call at 573-426-GUNS.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
This is Dan from the White Buffalo Fly Shop, your gateway to Missouri's blue ribbon trout streams and world-class smallmouth water. Whether you're headed to Mill Creek, the Kern, or the Gasconade, we've got the flies, the gear, and the local know-how to help you fish with confidence. If you're looking to sharpen your casting skills, join one of our hands-on clinics. Or if you'd like to craft your own fly rod, build it with us in one of our rod building courses. You're always welcome in our fly tying nights to swap stories, share patterns, and get the latest hatch reports. White Buffalo Fly Shop is more than just a place to gear up. It's a hub for our local community. You'll find us at 605 North Pine Street in Rolla, or online at whitebuffaloflyshop.com.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm telling you, I've laughed so much my ribs hurt. But I hope you got to listen to that first half of the program, because we're up at Slim's Knox County Whitetails in North Missouri with Chris Allison and Philip Vanderpool. Guys, I tell you what, you told some incredible turkey hunting stories, and what a camp we had. That was a legend of the outdoors turkey hunt up here with Chris, and had seven of eight hunters that took big gobblers in the last week of season. I can't imagine what the first week would have been like, but just an incredible hunt. But Chris, you're about a lot more than big turkey gobblers. I'm sitting here in the lodge right now, I'm looking at white-tailed deer hanging all over these walls. If I'd see something like that in the Ozarks, I think I'd pass out.
Well,
incredible whitetails. But you've been in the business for a pretty good while.
We have been taking hunters for right at 30 years up here in Northeast Missouri. But as far as full-time, we've been doing it about 21 years now. I sold my businesses in North Carolina and moved up here, and we started taking hunters full-time. And we just started off as a little small operation, and the Lord has blessed us. I never would have thought that we would be, as far as the amount of acreage we have and all that we do now. we used to go look for land. Now land finds us. You know, people know that, we're leasing property, and I'm a real estate agent also now, and it just seems like properties are if one property gets sold, we'll replace it with a better one. It's worked out really good for us, you know.
Wow. Well, describe to people where you're located in North Missouri.
We are just south of Kirksville, Missouri, just east of La Plata, but we hunt the 9 northeast counties up here. We hunt Scotland, Adair, Putnam, Sullivan, Schuyler, Knox, Lewis, and Monroe. And actually, we have a piece that we just picked up, a 1,600 acre piece in Macon also, so Macon counties. But we never dreamed that we would be here, but the Lord has blessed us and with these opportunities to get these properties. And we have great landowners. You know, our landowners are a key to the outfitting business to your success, because they can make you or break you, for sure.
Absolutely. And Philip Vanderpool has been involved with you, I think, for a number of years. And, you know, what thoughts are going through my mind right now, there's a reason you came here. There's a reason you hunt here, Philip. And how long have you been associated with Chris?
Well, I guess how many? That's been 30 years probably ago, yes, when we were talking about camera arms and bases. This is back when they first came out with camera arms and bases, and a friend of ours, Tommy Mabin. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's another story, but we met that way, and then Clint Schwach, who was editing and producing my show, The Virtue, he came up here to do a hunt with Chris. And anyway, I guess my name come up with Chris, and he said, man, you need to get him up here to hunt with me. And buddy, when I came up here and I eat Nettie's cooking, I've been here ever since.
He said he didn't care if it's a deer in this county.
I would feel the same way. I just come to eat.
And my wife, Rhonda, her and Nettie are best friends.
They had developed
an incredible relationship as friends. And so Rhonda comes up here and hunts too, and she's shot some big deer and turkeys up here. It's pretty phenomenal.
Well, it's a beautiful thing to watch when you see two great people get together. And I know you've got kindred hearts, and you're both workaholics.
Well, you have to be in this business, and it's work. But listen, when find a job that you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life. And that's the way I look at this.
Is absolutely true. But folks, if you follow Vanderpool over the years, you've watched him video after video after video, killing these big bucks, mostly with a bow. Do you even rifle hunt?
I shot my very first deer with I guess you want to consider it a rifle, the straight line cartridge. Mm-hmm. I shot my first deer with that, one of those, the 450 Bushmaster.
Yeah,
is what I shot it with.
Wow.
And in all my years, that's the first one I ever took with a gun. Now, I took two or three with a muzzleloader,
right,
over the years back in the HS days.
Yeah, and this guy has killed dozens and dozens of what I would call monster bucks, for sure. And I bow hunted enough to know it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of dedication, and boy, depth on detail, because you got to get those guys in close. What range do you like to get them into, Phil?
Well, I mean, I pride myself to try to set up and get a 20-yard or less shot, and that's the truth. I mean, if you want to up your percentage, you need to get that. Not everybody's a Levi Morgan, okay? I mean, and including me. I mean, I try to – don't get me wrong. I'm going to practice out there 60, 80 yards and stuff. I'll practice, but when it comes down to it, I pride myself, try to get that animal as close as I can, because the percentage, the closer you get, the higher your percentage of taking that big deer
100%.
Is.
Well, I can tell you, I respect you so much for, it just boggles my mind, all the intricate details and everything that have to fall together to be able to kill a big buck. I had an awesome place to hunt one time, and I just didn't have the time to dedicate to chase big bucks, but I had some awesome places to hunt. And I cried a lot when I bow hunted, let me tell you this story. A beautiful place I had to hunt. Nobody else hunted on it. 600 acres there in the Ozarks, surrounded by a wildlife area. And I knew there was a big buck in the area. I had no idea how big he was. But I got to the thickest place on that piece of property, little bitty pond. Looked like a hog wallow. So many deer come in there. And I went to the thickest side of the pond, went up a scraggly old oak, and I cut me a little lane just, I don't know, not over 2 foot wide for about 15 yards, and I put out a mock scrape. I hadn't been on stand 15 minutes, and doe started filtering into one of these big old sprawling oak trees, white oak, with a lot of acorns on the ground. 5 or 6 does came in. They're 75 yards from me, you know. And then this big whopping buck showed. You're talking about getting the shakes now. I watched this buck for 45 minutes over there, and I grunted real soft at him one time, and he snapped his head up, kind of went into a fight mode, you know, and stretched out and just stared in that direction. I know for 15 minutes, man, he was unnerving me. And I grunted, finally grunted real soft one more time. Here he came, started making a circle, and he came through that thick stuff, and I had my mock scrape at 12 yards right in front of a little cedar tree, and he stops behind that cedar tree, and he stretches his nose out, sniffs that scrape, you know, and man, I sit there and prayed just that I could calm down, you know. This buck steps out into my lane, stops at 9 yards, and as I'm drawing that bow, I pictured him hanging on the wall. He was 17 points. I let that arrow fly. I've never seen a buck react so fast. His chest hit the ground, one hop, and he's in the thick brush at 12 yards. I missed him.
Oh, no.
When he dropped, I was an inch over his back, and he stood there in that thick brush. Wasn't no getting an arrow in there. He had no idea what had happened. He slowly slinked off. And then that buck got poached.
He got poached.
Got poached.
Did they catch him? I mean.
No, the guy snuck in there and killed him right there out of my stand.
Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah. But isn't that something? But anyway, bow hunting.
Yep.
Incredible, incredible thing. Now, we're looking at, so people understand, you guys describe these buck to us and tell us how big they are. I couldn't even venture a guess what these things score.
The one right here to my left is 158. The one right beside it's 166.
Golly.
That's 168, 167, 181, 154, and 172.
All right, everybody out there in the crowd that's listening that wants to hunt here, raise your hand.
Every one of these are clients' bucks, too. They're not my bucks or somebody else. These are clients.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Just incredible to sit in one room and see this many big bucks. And how do you not get nervous, Phil, when something like this walks out in front of you 15 or 20 yards?
I've never lost that.
How do you compose yourself?
Well, I think the whole key is you almost have to talk to yourself. I'm holding that bow. A lot of people put a mark or something on their bow, aim small or whatever, something there. For me, it's the cameras. I'm paying attention to my cameras, trying to get the footage because I self-video pretty much, unless I get Chris Allison to go with me sometimes, and he does. We've had some good hunts together.
I bet you have.
Oh, yeah.
You guys need to write a book.
Yeah, and I tell you, but for me, that helps me take my mind off looking at the deer and everything. I'm trying to keep focused on that. And then like I say, I'm really rattled most of the time, but and then it's usually after the shot and it's where I really get tore up. My knees get to knocking, my eyes watering, my nose running.
Stan Potts taught him how to do this, because after the shot, he has a little Stan Potts moment. I've been there.
He trembles after a shot.
He does really good through the shot, but after the shot, Philip will get a little tore up, man.
It's just have to, like I say, you just have to, I try to keep it simple. And that's the only way I know to tell you is I try to keep it simple and I try to concentrate on something. And it's normally my cameras because I'm running multiple cameras and I'm trying to make sure everything is just right, you know, and before you make that shot. And then once I draw that bow, then I'm concentrating on that spot to let, you know, and to hit.
A lot of people, you know, they watch Phillip's videos and this kind of stuff, but being in the tree with him and being in camp with him, he has taught me so much about decoying. I feel like that I'm a pretty good deer hunter, but he has taught me so much about how to set up decoys. He's a decoy, him and Larry McCoy, and they're really good at setting up decoys, and they have taught me, Phillip's taught me a ton about decoying. But the thing that Phillip will do, I've seen him let really, really nice deer walk that didn't come and play the game. It's all about him. It's all about playing the game with the decoy and stuff. I mean, he let some nice deer walk, not only here, Kansas and Nebraska and other places he's hunted, because he is all about the video footage. That's what he's a hunter by heart, but he loves to see him play the game.
Well, and I understand a lot of guys don't get to hunt like I do, but I'm trying to do three things, basically. I'm trying to entertain the people that watch that. They want to see something, you know, take place. And if you shoot too quick, a lot of times you'll miss something that if you just let the deer go ahead and do his thing. But I try to – it's the entertainment value, but also to kind of inspire people to have patience and let that deer – and watch that deer and watch his reactions and stuff and – because every one of them that come in is going to do something a little bit different. Some of them will come in and, I mean, literally take out the decoy. It's like they drop everything, their nose, their eyes, and their ears. It's like everything is just, you know, they're concentrating on killing that deer and smacking him. Well, and then you got some that's timid, and they come around and go to the tail 9 out of 10 times. They want to smell who their competition is and who's the new guy on the block or new girl. Yeah. And that's something else I started doing is using a doe decoy the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm telling you, that's a game changer, buddy, in my opinion. Right. Yes, sir.
Well, yeah. You think his opinion counts?
I think his opinion counts, yeah.
Well, guys, I got to tell you, over the decades of being, you know, loving the outdoors and being out there, there's a couple of principles. One of them's for fishermen. I call it TOW, T-O-W, time on the water. Mm-hmm. For the hunters, in my part of the world, it's T-I-W, time in the woods. How important is that for a deer hunter?
Well, I'll tell you right now, and I know – with Onyx has kind of changed the game, you know, as far as in your scouting. But to me, I still have to get in there hands-on. I want to see the terrain, what it looks like, what it feels like. And I say if you're a hunter and say you've got a week to hunt, I would suggest that you spend the first 3-4 days scouting, learning your area, what the food sources are, where you think the bedding are. The water source is a huge thing that people neglect a lot of times. Deer got the water. Turkeys the same way. Know what you've got to work with, and then obviously play the wind on big whitetails. Number one, you've got to beat their nose.
Yeah, I've always said a 5-year-old plus deer, he may hear you once or twice. He may see you even once or twice. But if he smells you once, it's over. Game over.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The big deer just don't tolerate it. Older class deer.
I'm sure that's true. Like I said, I've never been a big buck hunter. I've seen a few big bucks in my lifetime. I'm one of those guys, you know, I like to put meat in the freezer. Right. So I love hunting those does. And you don't get me wrong now, if I get a nice buck come across, yeah, he's in trouble. Right. But deer hunting, this whole situation, man, is just been incredible in my lifetime. I come from the Missouri boot hill, and I've lived long enough, I've seen the white-tailed deer and the wild turkey come back in Missouri. I carried petitions when I was in college for the 1/8, the 1% sales tax, you know. Yes. Here in the state of Missouri, we're so blessed. I can't understand why every state doesn't have a tax. You know, we all pay it. And that 1/8 of 1% sales tax generates $150, $200 million a year for our Missouri Department of Conservation. You know what that costs Bill Cooper? About one $20 bill a year.
That's right.
All it costs me.
That's right.
And what an incredible program it has built for us. Well, I'd like for my listeners to know what Knox County Whitetails, what the setup is like here. You'll get some phone calls off of this. What can people expect here? First, tell us about the lodge and the services you provide.
We provide lodging, meals, and then, of course, the hunting properties. But we have an 11,000-square-foot lodge here with 15 bedrooms, 10 baths. We're finishing up our commercial kitchen out here that Nettie will be cooking in this coming fall. We have property in nine counties now, and we have a North Lodge that we only take 8 people in that lodge per week, and we basically hunt our farms here about 6 weeks a year for deer. We hunt the first week, we have a small group, and then we don't take another hunter until the last week of October, because we feel like if our neighbors are pushing all the deer to us in October, then when it's prime time, that last week of October, first 2 weeks of November, that we're going to have quality hunts for our hunters. And then we do our rifle season, of course, and then we have a late season muzzleloader just after Christmas, and we kill some absolute giants in late season muzzleloader, strictly over food. You know, you'll be hunting in a heated box stand. Hopefully, it's the colder it is, the better the hunting that time of year. And we kill some really good deer in that hunt too.
Well, boys, proof is in the pudding, and it's hanging on the walls here.
I'll tell you, we've had some great hunts here. My wife shot her first and only rifle kill up here. She shot him at 308 yards. It was $5 on a doe. I videoed that hunt here, and you know, Chris and I have hunted together there. We had a great hunt with a buck we call Clockwork, and big 160 inch deer. And then the buck that I call in and to the decoy, I couldn't stand it. I'd actually passed up a bigger deer because he didn't commit to the decoy. He came all the way up. I told what was going to happen. I knew he was going to come into the decoy, but he didn't have that attitude. And so I didn't shoot him, and I probably should have, because he was bigger deer than the one I ended up shooting. But that 10 point that I brought in come from over 600 yards, rattling it and grunting him and snorting, wheezing him right in to the DSD buck decoy. And he's sitting there pawing the ground when he's out there, and I made a great shot on him, and that was an awesome hunt. But we've had some, and I've seen the hunters here. I've seen them just have them stacked up out here, these big bucks and stuff. It's an incredible place. They got the genetics. Chris has got the properties, and he manages it. And what, 130 minimum now on – talk about that. Yeah.
If it's a mainframe 8 – it's 130-inch minimum. If it's a 9, if it's got 9 points off of his main beam, then we're doing a 140. And I just don't want to find everybody in camp, but I legitimately think we could do a 150 minimum if I could get my hunters to adhere it. But when you got guys from Michigan and New York and New Jersey that have never seen a 140, it's hard to hold them off.
And well, sure.
And, we had – last year I think we had like 61 bucks that we thought were 3.5 year old that was over 150 inches.
Wow.
You know, on camera.
Where can you go for that to happen?
Well,
not many places.
And another thing, how many cameras? 200 plus, probably cameras?
220 trail cameras right now.
Right. Yes. 220 trail cameras. So he knows his inventories. He's got them placed, you know, at the crossings and different areas there on food sources out there, whether it be corn, beans, alfalfa, whatever, on the food sources. That helps a lot to let you know. You can kind of look at them and kind of size the deer and stuff up here. But Chris and I were hunting a deer a couple of years ago.
2 years ago.
Yep. We nicknamed Chris Cross. He's a true 7x7. 14 wow. typical, and we thought he was probably, 190s?
He was 190s.
I had two different encounters with him, 50 and 60 yards, but I couldn't get the shot, and a doe blew the deal out on me. And the other time, we just couldn't get the shot. We were in a ground blind in standing corn.
It was a super tough year to hunt because all the corn was still standing in prime time because it was late. If that corn would have been cut and we could have got him narrowed down to a pinch point, you know, I feel like we could have got that deer killed, but it wasn't his will. But, it was awesome. It was an awesome time to try to kill him.
Oh,
Philip and I had some encounters with him, and We got our hearts racing anyway.
Dude. Yeah, but his main beams, he got the nickname Crisscross because they crossed in the front here.
Really?
He had such long main beams. Oh, incredible deer. But he's got a lot of big deer, and he's got the age class now, and I'm seeing it getting better and better now that Chris has really went to this minimum on the points. And I know sometimes, a guy out there looking, what he's trying to do is keep guys from shooting them 2.5-year-olds that's got potential to be a booner.
To blow up.
And they got those smaller bodies, and, of course, them racks look really big on them.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what you gotta look for, and it's about the maturity. He's going to have deer on there and say, hey, this guy here, he's a 300-pound deer, and he may only score 130 inches. That some buck comes by, you got the green light to punch him out, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, go ahead, Chris.
And we're planting food plots. We buy every acre of corn and beans we can back from our farmers. Some of our farmers are so busy that, when you're farming 10, 12, 13, 15,000 acres, they don't have time to fool with you, But
absolutely.
The ones that will buy an acre of corn or 2 acres of corn or 2 acres of beans, and then any of our CRP ground that we can plant up to 10%, and it really makes a difference. It doesn't make so much difference in the rut, but that late season, those deer, when you got 50, 60, one guy had 113 deer over on TT when he killed his buck, coming into those crops and cold season, it makes a big, big difference.
It really does, and they've gone through the rut, they're worn down, they need to rebuild that body, and they need that high energy food, and you're taking care of it.
Right.
I know I was up here late season, and I had my good buddy, and now Chris's good buddy, Daryl Davis. He's the singer for the Whistling Dixie Band, and he's down from my area there, born and raised there from around Jasper, Arkansas. But we were up here, and we're sitting, he only had a day or so to hunt there, and we're sitting in that one blind. We had 15 different bucks out in front of us at one time out there, and all of them's going to be studs this year. They made it through.
Right.
And we just didn't – he was wanting to shoot a really good deer, and we passed on a couple marginal deer, just because he's hoping they'll get bigger. He's wanting to shoot a big boy.
And, those trail cameras Philip hooked me up with Tammy Guess with Tacticam Reveal and got us on the outfitter program. So we get – and if you're an outfitter out there – she is unbelievable to work with. She'll do anything she can to help you. But when you got those big, big deer on camera, it'll make – if you can show the clients, hey, I got a 180-inch deer here in the daylight 2 days in a row, just hold out. It saves some of your younger deer's lives,
Well, sure.
And a lot of my clients, that's what I tell people in rifle season, we have an 85 to 90% kill a lot of times in rifle. But we would probably have over 100, but I've got Dickie Bison and James Kelly and a lot of these guys that's hunted with me 18 years. If it's not a 160+, they don't even pick up their gun because they know they're here. And when we can get everybody on the same mentality, we're going to have even a better operation.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm sitting here looking at decades of experience, and this is a beautiful marriage between you two, Chris, decades of experience. Keep gathering land. I'm sure lots of experimentation takes places. Now you're talking about using the cameras. This guy would make a great intelligence officer for the military.
You reckon?
Hey, I used to be – I did a little recruiting in my lifetime. And then Philip Vanderpool, decades of experience, and I don't know still how you stay as steady as you do, but I have the greatest of respect. Got to pinch myself. I can't believe I'm sitting here with you guys. But what an incredible, incredible place. And, folks, I would encourage you. You got a Facebook site?
Facebook is Slim's Knox County Whitetails, yes, sir.
Are there any pictures of big bucks on that?
There's a few pictures of some big bucks on there, yes, sir.
Folks, just get ready. It's going to be a shock to your system. But we've talked about, the Legends Hunt this week, all these wonderful people that come in. It's hard to wrap a show like this up, but there's some things coming. Gary Mason has got an eye for fine people in the outdoors, and then he gives awards in a number of categories, but there's an Outfitters Award, isn't there?
There's an Outfitters Award.
What's coming up in 27?
27, I think I'm pretty sure I know who that guy is going to be. And I think Chris and Nettie are definitely well deserving of that. I mean, and like I say, when you come here to Knox County Whitetails, Slim's Knox County Whitetails, you come as a client that first time. And then you're going to leave as a friend. And before you know it, you're part of the family. And that's this.
Well,
that's the best thing.
I certainly feel that way, and it's my first time up here. But Chris, congratulations, man, because you're stepping into quite a realm. There were people like Vanderpool, Gary Mason, and on and on, people that have been inducted to the legends of the outdoors, man, and into that circle as an outfitter.
An outfitter. That's,
you know,
that's
it's one thing to hunt. It's another thing to outfit.
Yes.
And I just can't imagine what that means to you.
I'm so humbled. I can't even put in words how the emotions I have about it. But I want to say this. My grandfather, we touched on this earlier about hard work, but my grandfather instilled in me when I was a kid. He said, pray about whatever you want to do in life, but go put footprints on those prayers. And I worked with him since I was 10 years old. Then I went to work for my father. And one thing that the Lord has always instilled in me that I can say, nobody has ever had to get me out of bed to go to work. Yeah. I've got up all my life and I've worked hard, but it's not what I've done and Nettie's done, but the Lord has blessed us with this. And without his hand on us, we wouldn't be here. I can promise you that. It's just put great people in our lives that
helped exactly
us along.
That's exactly right. That's what I was going to say.
And it just, you know, it just like a snowball when you get great people helping you and all of us getting together and it just formed into what it is right now, you know. And we mess up every day, you know, but the Lord's gracious enough to let us keep doing what we're doing. And I could never say enough about what the Lord's done for me.
Well, and, you know, a guy like myself here, I don't own a big, huge piece of property. I'm just an old poor boy. You don't make no money in the hunting industry. At least I don't. But I get to live and love what I want to do and what the God has given me this platform because of reaching out to people, taking kids. And that's another thing. Chris has got a huge heart. We do these youth hunts here with these kids. He does deer and turkey here, and I'm telling you, it warms your heart and soothes your soul. It makes you a better person. And that's the kind of people you want to be around
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
We had 10 kids on our youth hunt up there this year, and we were involved with the Jake's group that Billy Yargis and Ralph put on over in Maywood, which is about 45 minutes from here. There was 167 kids showed up to that hunt.
Wow.
And Ralph puts all these people
Ralph
in place.
Duren?
No, Ralph. No, Ralph
Young or
no? No, it's I can't think of his last name.
I can't either.
But Billy Yargis and him have been doing this about 18 years.
Yes.
And Ralph puts all this on. I mean, he gets landowners to let people hunt and gets guides
That's awesome.
For each one of these kids. But we had 10 kids here, and we killed 9 turkeys opening morning on Saturday. We had one miss.
Wow.
And then the little boy that missed – the next morning,
he's related to me.
He missed that first, and then the next morning he got a stomach virus in the blind and had to leave.
Oh.
And 20 minutes after he left, there was 2 big long beards at 12 yards on the camera.
Yeah,
right
on the trail camera.
You know, it was just, we felt so bad for him. But man, you're talking about excitement. This is another God thing. Kyle Yancey, that used to work for Woodhaven, had some shotguns for sale that were NWTF gun of the years and that kind of thing. And I saw them online. I bought them from him. And one of the boys from Woodhaven brought them up here. And as soon as they handed me that 410, I said, whichever little kid kills the biggest turkey this weekend, I'm giving them this gun.
Awesome.
And I announced that to him. And this little boy won it. And it's a 410 TriStar with a pistol grip and an Indian Creek in it.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's just, it just see their excitement. But, I mean, it'd take forever to tell you all about this, but lining, I got Gracie Herman, who is a 4-time Grand National winner at the NWTF. She's from Nebraska. I met her at the Iowa Deer Classic with Philip, and I asked her if she would come and guide a young lady. The young girl had never hunted in her life, period, any kind. And Gracie came down here and called her a bird in, and they killed it. And now they're lifelong friends. You know, she's a 12-year-old little girl, and Gracie's only 21 herself, but – that is God. That's not, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that Lord set that up, and it was just amazing to watch.
And guess who sends me a picture when it's all done there. Yeah, Gracie's got this thing with me. Of course, you know, I'm always saying, it's got to get to smell the powder burn.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing I did.
Smell the powder burn.
Yeah.
And now Gracie and Doug, her father, they're going to be lifelong friends of ours. You know,
yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Doug is an amazing guy, too. And he came back down and he guided one of the youth guys, too. And I mean, when you got Billy Yargis, Steve Stoltz, and you got Josh Anderson running a camera, and you got Dylan running a camera, and all these guys from Woodhaven drove all the way from Alabama just to come up here and film these kids.
Really?
Woodhaven, at the big event over there that Billy and Ralph put on, every kid there, 167 kids, got a Woodhaven call.
Can you believe that?
Newcomb Blinds gave me 25 blinds for those kids. Ralph and I bought 28 gauges this year, 25 shotguns, and raffled them off for those kids over there and everything. And to see their excitement, if it don't light your fire, your wood's wet, because it is unbelievable.
You probably ought to get involved with that next year.
Oh, you would love it.
I would love to.
Missouri resident
here. I've been involved in a lot of youth programs over the years. I actually helped run for 17 years. A hunter apprentice school through the Missouri State Chapter of National Wild Turkey Federation.
I kind of helped with Chris's help set this up, and I was going to be here for this event, but Arkansas had their youth hunt the same time as this one, and I got two granddaughters, or actually three, but two of them wanted to both go turkey hunting this year. So
say no to that?
Well, and I had to, and I did. I got my granddaughter shooting her first turkey, and my youngest granddaughter, I had to tell her she couldn't shoot because I had four big Jakes at the decoy and they weren't separating.
Yep.
And they all walked off together and we never got a shot. But she got the experience of hunt and she'll be first next year.
Right.
But what Chris does here with the youth programs is simply off the charts.
Well, I applaud you guys. I know I'm talking to guys with several decades under their belt, but I've dealt with and helped a lot of young guys get businesses started, you know, and you guys know how it is. These young guys come in, they're so excited, full of energy, you know, and they just fall all over themselves sometimes. Look, just calm down, but understand this one thing. I know you're getting into the guiding business, hunting or fishing, because you love it, but understand this one thing. Today, what you're doing is very important because you're not just a guide. You're a person that people are going to look up to, and particularly the kids, and you're important to the future, particularly for hunting in this country, because we know only 4% of Americans hunt anymore. 4%, about 16% fish. And guys our age, we're kind of dinosaurs in the industry.
Right. Sure.
And we're all of us are hoping and praying that this tradition continues, and people like Philip Vanderpool, like Chris Allison, you're helping keep that tradition alive. So, Chris, I know I can tell you thoroughly enjoy what you're doing, but what you're doing is important. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that, but it's very important to the tradition and keeping this.
And it's people look at us, and you know, and I tell the younger generation, just conduct yourselves and always take the high road. Conduct yourself, keep your head up there. But the most important advice I would give anybody is put God first and let him guide you. And you put the effort in and ask him for that. And I'm just telling you, it's a whole different world for you out there.
Well, I can tell you along that same line, as a youngster, we were very poor. I was born in a cypress board house with dirt floors. Went to a little old country church, and my Sunday school teacher, a white haired old lady, Mrs. Hubbard, we call her old Mother Hubbard, you know, behind her back. But one of the things she'd get on us, she'd see us in a vehicle going down the road drinking a Coke. This is how strict she was. Don't do that. Why? She said, people think you're drinking beer driving down the road. And she'd even get on to us about drinking Cokes. That's not good for you. Miss Hubbard, do you drink coffee? Well, that's different, you know. But Miss Hubbard taught us, she said, to make it through this life, you know, you need to serve the Lord. And to do that and have a good life, it's a lot easier if you surround yourself with good people.
That's exactly right.
And that's what you guys been preaching this morning in the outdoor industry. And, man, you are dead on. I can tell you that. Well, guys, I hate to wrap this thing up. This has just been too much fun. But once again, Slim's Knox County Whitetails, 828-231-9364. Get on that Facebook site and slobber all over it, because yep, it'll make it happen. Hey, I got to tell you, from Chris Allen's son, Philip Vanderpool, and myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your dreams as well.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
People love a good mustache. People also love a good firearm. The fine people down at Pond Center like both. They have the largest selections of firearms in the area, and with a friendly, knowledgeable staff of hombres to help you pick the gun that's right for you. You could end up riding into the sunset with a gun you love. Find them at pc72guns.com, on shelf, in store, online, or give them a call at 573-426-GUNS. That's Pond Center. Guns welcome. Mustache appreciated.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, The Rambling Angler, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.